Got my G-Hub up, got my Discord notes up, my podcast notes, got my Letterboxd up, got my Twitter up, got the Astro Word nominations up, and we're set, man. We're set, ready to go. We're recording, we're doing it live. We are
doing it live.
All right. Yeah, that's the intro right there. I'm going to just go ahead and hear that back just for a second. Yeah, that I think that'll do. That'll do. You can probably still hear my clicks, my mouse clicks. I mean, this G, whatever it's called, Logitech G Hub program is really good at drowning out some of this background noise. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've gone up a step. We've gone up a step production wise. We got our pop filter, and we got the G Hub. But it doesn't filter out everything, but it filters out enough. So. How about that? Oscar Guy here. What is up, man? How's it going? Welcome to the Oscar Guy Here podcast. This, I believe, is episode 8. I'm gonna double check on that because I always lose track. And where I'm checking right now is I'm checking actually my website, OscarGuyHere.com. Did you know I have a website? I do. OscarGuyHere.com/podcast is where you can see where you can listen. You can listen to me on Spotify. You can listen to me on Amazon Music and YouTube. And you can even copy the RSS feed right from that page. And you can just get your podcast, get it from whatever source you want. And then it displays the latest 3 podcast episodes on my website. So you can just you can also just listen to my podcast. Latest episodes right on my website if you want. Why was I even here? I was just checking what the last episode was, and that was 7. So that makes this episode 8. And I don't know what the title of the episode is until after I record. So whatever the episode title is, that's what I went with. And that's it, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Today is Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday. I wish you all a great Thanksgiving. I hope if you're traveling, please be safe. Try to not have too many political conversations with your family members. Just enjoy each other. You know, be there for one another. Enjoy each other's company despite everybody's agendas. You know what I mean? Just get along. Eat some good food and get along, man. Be merry, be thankful for one another. And I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for you for listening and, following my, shenanigans, my absolute shenanigans on my YouTube channel and my, just everything that I do. Thank you for putting up with me. Gonna keep doing it. So yeah. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I'm going to be going out of town for a bit, visiting some family and friends. And again, I hope you guys have a good one. But before I do that, before we get down to it, let's get down to it in another sense. We got some things to talk about. I've seen some movies. I've seen a handful of films since the last episode. And some things have happened, and one of those things being the nominations for the Astra Awards, which was formerly called the HCA Awards, and that is the Hollywood Critics Association, I think that's what it's called. They relabeled themselves as the Astra Awards, and they're kind of sort of a minor precursor in a way. They are a precursor to the Critics' Choice Awards because it's a smaller organization, but I think a lot of the same critics and a lot of the same voters are also a part of the Astras. From what I understand, they're kind of their voting body is very similar. The overlap. but it's smaller. It's not as, you know, it, the correlation isn't like it's like if somebody wins an Astro Award, it's not a huge deal. Or if somebody doesn't get nominated for an Astro Award, it's not a huge deal. It's like, it's a precursor to a precursor, you know, it's but it's something, man. All we got are the Gotham nominations and we got the Astro nominations, and that's pretty much it. But we're going to go through those. I think maybe later on in the episode, some things of, you know, shifting around here and there, and some considerations to take note of. So yeah, that's that. And then, you know, we got some Wicked stuff going. Glicked, sorry. They're calling it Glicked. They're trying to reverse engineer a Barbenheimer thing, but it's not really happening. It's not nearly as a sensation. It's just like, you know, Gladiator and Wicked came out the same day. So, you know. But a lot of people talking about Wicked. Some people are talking about Gladiator too, but mostly Wicked. A lot of things going on with that. A Complete Unknown finally screened, the Bob Dylan biopic. There's some reactions there. But before we get into anything else, I just want to tell you guys what I've watched recently. So I think the last episode, what day was the last episode? Was it the Mechanical Keyboard ASMR? Mechanical Keyboard ASMR. November 16th. And I think that's very same day that I uploaded the last episode, I watched a movie called Amelia Perez. I watched Amelia Perez. It's on Netflix. It's a big Oscar player. It won Best Actress and a jury prize at Cannes Film Festival. It went gangbusters at TIFF and at Telluride, I think, as well. It even placed at TIFF. I think it got the runner-up for the audience award. And it's a thing. Directed by Jacques Audiard, who is a French auteur filmmaker. This movie's interesting. It's an amalgamation of a musical telling kind of like a trans story in a way, but mostly from the perspective of really two characters, from one person who transitions from a man to a woman, and then her lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana. It's mostly told from her perspective, but it's kind of from both of their perspectives in a way. It's a musical. It's a drama. It's a thriller. It's like a crime drama thriller at one point. It does a lot of things. It's very audacious. It's very bold. It does a lot of things. It's a little bit messy. It goes for it. Some of the parts, you know, individually are better than its sum, if that makes sense. It doesn't really cohesively come together, but I do recommend it. I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, there's a lot of backlash from people, mostly from film Twitter, that are saying that it's kind of misrepresenting the trans experience. And I understand that. Like, it's a very half-baked portrayal of its themes. And there's some very tasteless parts in the film, particularly near the beginning of the film, where I was just like, okay, what the hell was that? Like, that was so misguided. Like, what is going on here? So I get why people are a little, it's a little polarizing. It's a very polarizing film. You're either in or you're out. You know, I'm for the most part in, but again, I have troubles with some of the film and how it's portrayed. And like I said, all the pieces don't really gel. It's really scattershot, really all over the place. But the filmmaking is commendable. It's a really nice piece of work. From a technical standpoint, acting, I mean, I thought the songs were pretty good. There were a couple duds in there, but, you know, there were some, I want to say there were maybe three or four great songs, and then there were maybe one or two very cringe songs to me, and then the rest were like pretty good. You know, the music was pretty good. Performance-wise, I mean, the ensemble was amazing. Zoe Saldana is incredible in this film. Probably gives one of my favorite performances of the year so far. She just eats up every scene she is in. Her charisma, her dancing, her singing, just her presence, her emotionality. Like, she's so good. She's so good in this movie. And so is Carla Sofia Gascon, who is an actual trans woman playing a trans woman. And she is getting raves as well. And I thought she was fantastic as well. A huge part of that film. Absolutely. Selena Gomez is in it. I thought she was fine. You know, she's a good singer. You know, and she's a fine actor. She's a pretty good actor. But, I mean, nothing really on the level of Saldana and Gascon in my eyes. But, yeah, I mean, some of the lyrics and stuff were a little on the nose, but that's kind of because of the translation. It's originally in Spanish. The lyrics translated to English. It just seems weird. But for the most part, I tried to consume the music and the songs from the film from that perspective. Even though I'm not a Spanish speaker, I've focused mostly primarily on the delivery and the intent of the lyrics rather than actually just reading and just kind of ignoring everything else. In fact, during the El Mal scene, which is a song in the film that Zoe Saldana sings, where she's at this like party and everybody's frozen around her and she like dances and it's a whole showcase for her. That song is such a spitfire of a lot of things that I couldn't really like separate my visual muscle, like seeing what's going on screen and all of the crazy cuts and all of the camera movements and everything, and reading all of this like really fast paced moving, like, you know, lyrics. There was one point where I just stopped reading the lyrics. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to watch Zoe Saldana perform. And I get it for the most part. I get what the song's trying to say. So that was an interesting thing. It's an incredibly unique film. Whether you love it or you hate it, it's very unique. You're not going to see a lot of films like this, especially this year. But it's definitely has its issues. It's far from perfect, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's going to show up everywhere in award season. So, in fact, it might even win international feature. And Zoe Saldana might even win supporting actress. I liked it. So that's Emilia Perez. And then the next day, I went and saw A Real Pain again. I saw it at the Philadelphia Film Festival about a month or so ago. And I went to go see it again because I've been really thinking about it a lot. And it's been released widely now. And I had to go see it again. And it is even better on a rewatch. It's so good. It's so, so good. I think my rating went up a little bit. You know, it's not perfect, but it's very sharp. It's a sharp screenplay. Performances from Culkin, especially, and Eisenberg too. They're both fantastic. It's a great little movie. It says a lot in its, you know, regardless of its simplicity. And it's very well realized. The characters, their situations, their motivations. It's a very well written film, if anything. Well acted and very well written. So and it's really showing up in the early season here. So I think it's got enough momentum and enough campaigning that it's gonna show up throughout the award season. So Real Pain, Highly recommend it. Love it. It's definitely in my top 10 of the year. And then I saw Saturday Night, which has been on my list for a long time since it was released on VOD. This film has kind of lost steam, unfortunately. It didn't place a TIFF. It released, and it didn't really make a lot of money at the box office. It was kind of a dud with, I mean, for whatever reason, it just didn't perform very well. I don't know. It did, you know, it hasn't really been showing up a lot. It did get some Astra nominations, which we'll get to. That doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's still something. It's weird if this movie is just going to keep catching on as the award season rolls along or not. But I really dug Saturday Night. I thought it was great. I thought it was really great. Very high octane, very frantic, frenetic, like intense. It's all told in real time. The 90 minutes up until the first episode of SNL is shot and aired. You know, it goes through all of the issues that they were having with, you know, its performers, its cast members, production issues. Everything was going wrong. It was just chaos. You know, people were doubting it. Like, agents and longtime studio execs were, like, doubting the show. Like, Lorne Michaels didn't even really know what exactly it was until it was actually coming to fruition. So he was just like, trust me, we got skits. We're going to just do it. All right. But it's very eye-opening. It's very eye-opening. The cast is incredible. Probably one of the best casts from any film this year. Amazing. But especially Gabriel LaBelle and Cooper Hoffman. Cooper Hoffman really impressed me. He's not in the film a lot. I mean, he kind of is, but there's at one point in the film where he kind of disappears for a while. But in the scenes that he is in, especially the scene with him and Gabriel LaBelle in the stairwell, he is great. You know, I mean, he's definitely acting in the shadow of his father, Philip Seymour Hoffman, the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. And yeah, he's more or less the spitting image of, like, his mannerisms and everything. And he's great. Especially that scene, like I said, he is fantastic. And Gabriel LaBelle is incredible. What a great actor he is. A great young actor. I hope he has a very fruitful career. He was great in The Fabelmans from a few years ago. I knew he had something the moment I saw him in The Fabelmans. And he is probably even better in this movie, if I'm being honest. He's so good. He's so good. There were a couple scenes here and there that I thought were a little tacked on and unnecessary. You know, I think the whole, like, J.K. Simmons thing, I don't know if that, I don't know. That was a little weird. Let me see. It ended kind of, it was the ending. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I can spoil it or anything, but I mean, spoiler alert, it like ends with the first episode, you know, getting aired and getting shown and everything. And like the first sketch happens and then it's like live from Saturday Night and then it's basically over. So it like ended strangely. But the movie, you know, all the events leading up to that is what the movie is all about, I guess. So, but I really liked it. And the score from John Batiste, killer, killer score. One of my favorite scores of the year. It's got this like very drums and percussion heavy score, very Afrobeat inspired. And I love me some Afrobeat. A lot of horns, a lot of jabs, some really cool like TikTok kind of motifs throughout the film. The production design was great. I mean, technically was great. Production design, costume design. The editing was great. I really enjoyed it. And I hope it gets more love this award season. Because like I said, I think it's dying. It's dying a little bit. It's dying. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And then another film that I saw a couple nights ago, I just threw it on randomly for whatever reason. I threw on Birdman, you know, the Alejandro Giannarritu film starring Michael Keaton and Edward Norton and company. It's always been one of my favorite movies. I really, really loved it when it came out, and I was so glad it won Best Picture when it came out. I'm a jazz drummer, so I love Antonio Sanchez, who composed the drum score for the film. So I circled back on it, and I think it was maybe my second rewatch of it. And it's great. It's great. There are some aspects that didn't hold up quite as well as when I first saw it the first couple times. You know, some of the script is a little hit or miss here and there. There's some scenes that are a little bit melodramatic to the point where it's comedic, but even when it's comedic, it's like a little corny. I don't know. There's some like kind of there's some melodrama and corniness sprinkled in that I think is a little Oscar baity in my opinion. But the film's a technical marvel. It's shot as if it was shot in one take, but from what I come to understand, there's only 12 actual take or 12 actual cuts in the film that are very suavely edited and transitioned. So it's very well made and it's incredibly well acted. The cast is amazing. Michael Keaton, I think, has never been better. One of Edward Norton's best performances, and it's interesting because his character in the film is like more or less like a caricature of him, of Edward Norton himself, because he's historically, you know, pretty tough to work with, and they kind of play off of that in a way, which I thought was interesting. It's very good. It's a very good movie, and it's a great Best Picture winner. Although I have never seen Boyhood, which was the Best Picture frontrunner for that year up until pretty much the very end, where Birdman won, I think, DGA and PGA, and it kind of had a last-minute surge to upset at the Oscars for Best Picture. So the Boyhood stands were like, ah, come on, man. And there are Boyhood stands out there. And I have yet to see Boyhood, and I hear it's great. And there's some people that say, that probably should have won Best Picture instead of Birdman. But I digress. Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Very good movie. Very, very good movie. So that's what I watched, man. That's what I watched. Those four films. That's what I watched. And I'm not sure I'm going to watch anything else until the next podcast. Probably. We'll see. I'll probably watch some Thanksgiving movies, maybe pop on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which I've never seen. Don't sue me. I think it's about time I maybe watch that. So maybe I'll watch that with my family. If people want to sit down and watch something this Thanksgiving. So, yeah, dude. So, that's my Letterboxd watched. And by the way, if you haven't followed me on Letterboxd yet, please do so. Letterboxd.com/jazzmusic131. Jazzmusic131 on Letterboxd. That is me. That is Oscar Guy here. I started this Letterboxd account sometime before I started Oscar Guy here. Before I started the channel, way before I started the podcast, I made my Letterboxd account, and that is why it's called Jazz Music 131 and not Oscar Guy Here. And Letterboxd, doesn't let you update your username. So that's awesome. Letterboxd.
Why do you not let us update our usernames?
You hear me? So anyway, let's talk about, so Wicked. Wicked came out, and it's making a lot of money, and people are really freaking out about it, and it is apparently very, very good. It is apparently very, 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 very good. From what I come to understand, one of, if not the best musical adaptation in a long time. People seem to ignore West Side Story from 2021, but that's neither here nor there. I think that movie is fantastic. But maybe other than West Side Story, probably Wicked is probably one of the best, if not the best, musical adaptation since perhaps Chicago in 2002. It has made, from the time of this recording, it has made about $180 million at the box office based on a $150 million budget. That's not including marketing. So I think I read somewhere that including marketing, I think the actual budget is maybe around $300 million. So it still hasn't technically made its money back, but it will. It will. It's gonna continue to kill it at the box office for sure. It's it only came out what 5 days ago, so it's made that much money in 5 days. So it'll make its money back. It'll make its money back. I have yet to see it. I'll see it. I'll see it eventually because it is going to be a very big Oscars player now. We were kind of unsure what it was going to be and how good it was going to be for a while, but now we know how good it is. And spoiler alert, Astro nominations, it... Wicked was nominated for
20 Astro Awards, which is history-making, record-shattering number of nominations at the Astros.
So, yeah. And it'll get nominated for a ton of Golden Globes. I think Critics' Choice is going to eat it up. Maybe even SAG. You know, maybe it'll even win SAG Ensemble. It's definitely certainly in the conversation. I'll be kind of surprised if it dies off by Oscar season. It's really at the forefront. And you know, a lot of non-moviegoers, non-regular moviegoers, a lot of theater kids, a lot of, you know, the people like to call them normies. I don't really like to use that word. I don't know. It sounds harsh, but for lack of a better term, they're just kind of normal people who don't typically go to theaters that much. So, there's been a conversation about theater etiquette in regards to these films, especially it being a musical that a lot of people are crazy over. So much so that people have been posting on Twitter, you know, a select few, that have, like, there's a couple of viral tweets that came out. There was one where this person posted the title card for the film that says Wicked Part 1. And she said, "Post your Wicked Part 1 photos, guys." And everyone's like, "No, actually, you don't do that. Number one, that's illegal. Number two, it's very... Put your phone away. Put your phone... If you're in a movie theater and you're watching a film, put your phone away. Not only is it... Especially if you're recording, you're taking photos, pictures, videos, whatever, of the film, not only is that disrespectful for the filmmakers, everybody who worked on the film, but it is especially disrespectful to the theater goers that are in the theater with you. It's one of my biggest pet peeves when I'm in a movie theater. When anybody in front of me pulls out their phone, it distracts me. It takes me out of the moment. It's terrible. You're ruining the experience for everybody else. So there's been a lot of backlash towards that. You know, people coming out of the woodwork and saying, why is this a thing? Like, why are people treating this film as a concert? Sure, it's a musical. Sure. I mean, you wouldn't do the same thing if you saw Wicked on Broadway, if you whip out your phone at Broadway, you're getting kicked out. Can't do that, man. So people think like, oh, as long as you pay a ticket and you go into the movie theater, it's free reign. You can do whatever you want. You can take a nap, do a lap around the front aisles, to take videos, sing, stand up, dance. Like, dude, it's a movie. Like, you're there to watch the movie. You paid your ticket to watch the movie. That's it. If you're doing anything else, you're being a distraction. Now you can get up to go to the bathroom. That's a given. But it's just, it's an interesting this discussion happening regarding that. And there was another tweet going around where this girl basically whipped out her phone during the final scene, which is the, you know, Cynthia Erivo as Elphaba singing the showstopper of the film and of the musical Defying Gravity. She basically whipped out her phone and tweeted, and she took a video of the whole scene, tweeted it, and was like, I'm sorry, but I gotta pull this up. I don't think I reposted this. Okay, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. She was like, I'm sorry, but I had to record Defying Gravity. She just ate, man. And everyone's like, why did you have to? There's no. Like, it's going to ruin the experience, not only for people who are seeing the movie in the theater with you. It's also disrespectful for people who haven't even seen the film, haven't even seen the scene that you're up, you know, recording a video of. It's disrespectful to people who haven't seen it because they haven't seen it yet. Like, you don't want to witness even a second of that scene with, you know, for the first time through a freaking tweet on your phone. Like, it's very frustrating, and I understand and relate to the frustration for sure. It's upsetting that people just don't have theater etiquette anymore. And maybe I'm being a snob. I don't know. Maybe for the quote unquote normies and for the people who aren't theater goers, you can call us snobs all you want, man. It's whatever. I don't care. Just know that there are other people, you know, that are seeing the movie with you that don't align with your etiquette or lack thereof. So yeah, that's, I felt like it's been, that conversation's just been all over the place recently, and I just had to give my two cents on it for sure. So if you ask me, put your phone away during the film, unless it's an emergency. And even if it is emergency, leave the theater and take care of business. So, that's that. But I've yet to see Wicked, and I'm afraid to even see it because I don't want any of that nonsense to distract me and to tarnish my viewing. So, and to tarnish anybody else's view. I don't like to see other people get upset about, you know, I don't, it ruins the experience for everybody. So just put your phone away, man. Just put your phone away. Just, it'll be fine. If you put your phone away for 2 hours, the world's not going to explode, dude. It's fine. Just throw it. Throw it. Tell you what. Throw your phone into the popcorn machine, into the thing where it churns the kernels and the butter. Just throw your phone in there, and you know it'll all be good. So, yeah, man. Unbelievable. I guess that's all I got to say about that. And Gladiator 2 came out too. I hear it's pretty good. You know, I've talked to some people saying that, sure, it's not as good as the first one, but it's still very, very well made and very well acted. The storytelling isn't quite on the level of the first one, but it's still worthwhile. It's still worth seeing. I don't know how much money that's made. I mean, that budget was crazy. The Gladiator 2 budget, bro. You think the Wicked budget was big? I mean, it's probably around the same. Oh, my God, dude. Budget, $210 to $310 million. It made $232 million at the box office. And it came out the same day. Well, it actually came out in the UK on the 15th. It's actually made a lot of money, too. Wow, okay. I didn't realize it made that much money already. It's actually made more money than Wicked. Probably because it came out in the UK first. I don't know. Wow. Well, I stand corrected then. So it might make its money back. Oh, man. But yeah, Gladiator 2. Yeah, the two blockbusters I have yet to see. I have yet to see Gladiator 2, and I have yet to see Wicked. I kind of want to rewatch the first Gladiator. It's been probably over a decade since I've seen the first one. But I don't know if I need to or not. I might remember it well enough. I hear Denzel Washington just completely destroys. I hear he just gives 110%, as he always does. So I'm eager to see where he ends up in the awards conversation. People are saying that he is in there for supporting actor. Perhaps I'll pull like a Angela Bassett or something. Although he is definitely in. From what I understand, he is in more of Gladiator 2 than Angela Bassett was in Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. But Gladiator 2 reactions looking pretty good, and I've yet to see it, so I think we'll leave it at that. I'll probably be seeing those soon. A Complete Unknown premiered. That gets widely released on Christmas, but it did premiere, I think, in New York and LA at some private screenings. And I hear it's pretty good. I hear it's not perfect. It's a little overlong. It's a little disjointed. Some people are even saying it's a little boring. But there's been a lot of positive reactions. More than that, it's kind of it's positive. I was gonna say mixed to positive, but it's mostly positive. But it's not raves, if that makes any sense. But Timothée Chalamet is getting raves for his performance as Bob Dylan. I hear he really knocks it out of the park. He really is the real deal in this film. And I hear some of the supporting players are great too. Edward Norton, who plays Pete Seeger, I hear is great. And he's kind of, you know, he's got some prosthetics and he's kind of doing a voice and he's doing a character. I hear Elle Fanning is great. And I hear Monica Barbaro. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but Monica Barbaro plays Joan Baez in the film, and I hear she is very, very good. That is a performance that was not on my radar, so we might need to be keeping an eye on her throughout this award season. But Timmy Chalamet, I think, is definitely in the conversation to be nominated, at least be nominated for actor. He might even win, you know, Golden Globe or Critics' Choice or something. I mean, Best Actor is pretty competitive between him and Adrian Brody and Colman Domingo, and maybe even Ralph Fiennes. I mean, those four dudes, it's going to be a tight race between those four dudes. I mean, for my money, Adrian Brody will be winning everything. But we're just going to have to see how it plays out. So yeah, I'm eager to see A Complete Unknown. I'm going to have to wait about a month, man. Unless it has a select release, which I don't think it does. But yeah, Christmas week is going to be busy for me between that, you know, A Complete Unknown, Nosferatu, which also comes out Christmas, and Baby Girl, which I don't think is going to perform very well in the awards season. But I do want to see it anyway. But yeah, man, Complete Unknown, I hear it's good. Not incredible, but I hear it's good. I don't know if it's locked for Best Picture anymore. Maybe it will be, but I'm thinking at minimum, actor, sound, I hear, is definitely very strong in the film. So I think actor, sound, maybe another tech, like costume design or something like that, but, and maybe even screenplay. I'm not sure. And perhaps a supporting actor for Edward Norton, or supporting actress for Barbara if that takes off. So it'll get a decent amount of nominations, but I have a feeling that it might miss Best Picture for whatever reason. Maybe it won't, but we'll see. And I've also heard, when does Moana 2 come out? So Moana 2, it came out today. Wow. It came out November 27th. It has a... Let's just say it's not as good as the first movie. It's not as good as the first movie, man. It's really not as good. I mean, Inside Out 2 wasn't as good as the first one, but at least Inside Out 2 was great from what I hear. Not as great as the first one, but still great and still made a shit ton of money. And let me tell you, Moana 2 is going to make a lot of money. But yeah, it's got a 66 on Rotten Tomatoes and a 57 at Metacritic. It's just not really up to snuff. I met a nice dude at the Philly Film Festival about a month ago, while I was waiting in line for A Real Pain. Oh, his name is slipping my mind right now. I feel so bad because he might even be listening right now. You know who you are. He's a very good video editor and a very cool dude. He informed me that Moana 2 was originally going to be a straight-to-Disney+ series? Something like that. And then they ended up making a second movie. So that was kind of the writing on the wall. When he told me that, I was like, okay, well, not expecting much. So it's not much. Will it get nominated for animated feature? It's on the fence. It's on the fence. I will say, I think it's probably in the bottom five for sure. I mean, Wish was kind of the same thing last year. I mean, the reception was mixed to positive, and it just wasn't strong enough, and it just wasn't showing up. So I feel like Moana 2 is kind of going to do the same thing. I think they're going to put all their eggs in the Inside Out 2 basket. But again, we'll have to see. So that's Moana 2. Hope it makes all its money. And cheers to all the families and kids out there that are getting that are getting a Moana sequel. Congratulations. Okay, so let's see, what time are we at? We're about 45 minutes. So let's go through the Hollywood Creative Alliance's Astra Film and Creative Arts Award nominations. The Astra nominations. So these were unveiled a couple days ago. And like I said, it's just something to align some stars for us predictors. You know, it's not a huge deal, these nominations. Again, it's a precursor. It's a precursor to the Critics' Choice Awards, which itself is a precursor. But again, the voting bodies are similar. It's a much smaller organization, but it's something to give us some leeway into the films and the performances and the crafts that we will be seeing throughout the season, most likely. So I think we're going to start right from the top. So in Best Picture, we have Anora, A Real Pain, Challengers, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Sing Sing, The Brutalist, The Substance, and Wicked. I will say that Challengers is showing up. Challengers showed up at the Astras, and that is really great because I had a feeling that Challengers was kind of dying off and not a lot of people were talking about it anymore because it released way earlier this year. But I think it's still getting its end of the year recognition, and I think it's going to start showing up, at least in the early precursors. Whatever happens to the late precursors, it is what it is. But really glad to see it still show up here. That and The Substance. I mean, we've talked about The Substance a lot this season already, but it's happening. The Substance is happening. That being said, we still don't know how the Academy is going to respond to The Substance at the end of the day. It's going to get into a lot of precursors, but it's still up to the Academy to kind of get over their biases and get over it, you know? But it is a very non-awards, it's a very non-Oscar movie. So I don't know, but I mean, it's happening. Their word of mouth is just so strong on it. It's part of the conversation. It's one of the films of the year for sure. And it showed up for the most part at the Astros. So that is in picture. Nickel Boys isn't in picture, which upsets me, but I get it because that's a weird movie. That I think that film is more or less a required taste. I would have loved to see it here, but it is what it is. I had a swig. Seltzer. Best Comedy or Musical, Anora, A Real Pain, Challengers. Interesting. I mean, Challengers is going to get campaigned as a comedy or musical at the Golden Globes. So, I mean, sure. Does it have funny moments in it? Yes. Would I consider it a comedy? Not really. It's more of a drama, but it is what it is. Deadpool and Wolverine is here. Interesting. Saturday Night and Wicked. So Saturday Night was not nominated in picture, but it got into comedy or musical. Wicked is here as well. Emilia Perez is not here. Emilia Perez got into picture, but it didn't get into comedy or musical, and it's a musical. So I don't know if there was a nomination cap or there was a different voting body for this category or what, but I think that is very bizarre. Best Actor, Adrian Brody in The Brutalist, Timothée Chalamet, Complete Unknown, Colman Domingo, Sing Sing, Jesse Eisenberg, Real Pain. Let's go, buddy. Let's go. Let's get you up there, buddy. Hell yeah. Ray Fiennes, Conclave, and Glenn Powell in Hitman. I need to see Hitman. I want to say that Glenn Powell will at least get nominated at the Golden Globes, and he might even win his category at the Golden Globes, Best Actor, Comedy and Musical. And I think the Critics' Choice might go with him, too. So he might have a shot. I think he might have a shot at least some early precursor ceremonies. Not sure if it'll go all the way to the Oscar, but I'm going to keep an eye on Glenn Powell now. Who isn't here? Who isn't here? We're going to have to pull up my predictions here just to cross compare. Let's see. Daniel Craig is not here. You know, I'm concerned about Queer. I think it's starting to get released in select theaters now, but I just feel like that movie is just going to be too inaccessible and too out there and too weird for anybody. You know, apart from maybe Emilia Perez, one of the other most polarizing films of the year, from what I hear. So him not showing up here is interesting. No Paul Mescal for Gladiator 2. No Sebastian Stan for either The Apprentice or A Different Man. I think his performance in A Different Man is definitely worthy of a nomination in any awards body. And The Apprentice, I think, is kind of dead in the water given the election results. I don't think anybody wants to watch a movie about Trump. So I think... I think that might be dead in the water. So Gabriel LaBelle in Saturday Night is not here. That's understandable. Joaquin Phoenix Joker, that's dead. So dead. But yeah. Other than that, it makes sense. Best Actress. Cynthia Erivo, Wicked. Carla Sofia Gascon, Emilia Perez, Angelina Jolie, Maria. Mikey Madison Anora, Demi Moore, The Substance, and Naomi Scott in Smile 2. Very inspired nomination. I've heard Naomi Scott, and I've seen clips of Naomi Scott in Smile 2, and she is really going for it in that film. So, very inspired. Very inspired nomination there. And obviously Demi Moore. Well, I would love to see that. I mean, The Substance stands. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for Demi Moore to get her due. It's really cool to see her here. Cynthia Erivo, I mean, I might have to keep an eye on her. Again, this same with, you know, Glenn Powell and Hitman. I'm not sure if she's going to go all the way to the Oscars. It might, you know, we'll see. But I feel like she has some kind of shot now, for sure. So Marion Jean-Baptiste is not here. I'm still going to be keeping her in mind. Amy Adams' Night Bitch is not here. I mean, Fernando Torres, I'm still here. Tilda Swinton, Room Next Door. Nicole Kidman, Baby Girl, is not here, which surprised me. But whatever. Again, it's the Astros. Supporting actor. We have Jonathan Bailey in Wicked, which is very surprising. The Astros really over-nominated Wicked, let me tell you. I mean, every award that it was eligible for, it was nominated. They really went crazy for it. So, even Jonathan Bailey from Wicked, a supporting player in the film, is here. Yura Borisov from Anora, that campaign is really taking off. I think he might go all the way to the Oscars, deservedly so. Kieran Culkin, Real Pain, of course. Clarence Macklin, Sing Sing. Justice for Sing Sing, please. Guy Pearce, The Brutalist. And Denzel Washington, Gladiator 2. That category makes sense. I would have loved to see Adam Pearson here, but I just feel like A Different Man is just more or less dead in the water. I really hate to say it, but it's just a, you know, it's one of A24's secondary titles this year, and it's a real shame because that's such a great movie. Who else missed? Well, Edward Norton is not here from A Complete Unknown. That is what it is. No Brian Tyree Henry from Fire Inside. No Conclave Boys. None of the Conclave Boys are here. Ray Fisher Piano Lesson, not here. But that's essentially it. Supporting actress, we have Danielle Deadwyler, The Piano Lesson. That's still a thing. It's still a thing. Gonna still hold on to that one there. Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, Nickel Boys. Love to see that. Love to see that. Selena Gomez or Amelia Perez, sure. Ariana Grande, Wicked, of course. Margaret Qualley in The Substance. Very cool. And, of course, Zoe Saldana in Amelia Perez. Let me tell you something about Ariana Grande. She's getting absolute raves for her performance. I think the supporting actress race of this year, is between her and Zoe Saldana. They are going to go head-to-head, I think, this year. Not really again, because I haven't even mentioned it yet. James, what are you doing? Ariana Grande is not an actress. She's more of a performer and a singer. It might not stop her to get some awards recognition, for sure. And maybe her acting chops are very good in the film. So maybe she will become an actress, a la Lady Gaga. But I don't know. She's a front runner. So keep an eye out. As far as misses, Felicity Jones from The Brutalist is not here. And that confounds me, man. What you doing? Adrian Brody's here. Guy Pearce is here. Where's she at? Look. My only guess is that there just weren't enough slots for her, or not enough votes or something, and she's only in the second half of the film, but she's also a narrator of the film. I mean, her narration is one of the first things we hear in the movie. She narrates throughout the first act, and her presence is felt. And then she shows up in the second half, and she's great in the second half. In fact, there's a scene towards the end of the film where she just dominates. She does enough. She does all that she can. And it's very baffling that she's not here. But again, it's the Astros. Never say never. Saoirse Ronan in Blitz is not here. And neither is she in leading actor for The Outrun. And I am kind of losing faith in her chances to get nominated in either of these categories. She is now on the outside shot spectrum now that we're heading into the precursors. So let us pray for Saoirse Ronan, for sure. Even though I didn't like Bliss. So Isabella Rossellini is not here. I mean, she's in the movie for 5 minutes. Who are we kidding? I mean, never say never for her too. She might pull something off. But she's not here. Natasha Lyonne's not here. Toni Collette, juror number two. I don't think that's happening. But yeah, that's that. Original screenplay. Sean Baker, Nora. Jesse Eisenberg, Real Pain. Justin Kuritsky's Challengers. Love it. Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman for Saturday Night. Brady Corbett and Mona Fastfold for The Brutalist. And Coralie Farjat, The Substance. Great category. Wonderful category. What's not here? I mean, September 5, I guess. Hard Truths. Different Man. I Saw the TV Glow. His Three Daughters is not here. That's a great screenplay. I really hope that gets something along the way. But I mean, that makes sense. That's still a great category right there. Adapted screenplay. Peter Strawn, Conclave. Denis Villeneuve, John Spates? How do you say it? Dune Part 2. Glenn Powell, Richard Linklater for Hitman. Ramel Ross, Jocelyn Barnes for Nickel Boys. Clint Bentley, Greg Quidar for The Sing Sing, and Winnie Holtzman and Dana Fox for Wicked. Wicked being here in adapted screenplay is interesting. A Broadway musical adaptation getting nominated usually doesn't happen at... I mean, sometimes it happens at precursors. I mean, I guess it makes sense here, but very seldom does it ever happen at the Oscars. But they just love Wicked. They just love Wicked. What isn't here? I mean, Emilia Perez isn't here. Very original script, albeit very divisive and very scattered and messy. But it is what it is. No Piano Lesson. Piano Lesson's not here. Wild Robot's not here. But cool. Coolio. Director. We have Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, Sean Baker, Anora, John M. Chu for Wicked, even in director. He's going to show up in director. So, I mean, I got a feeling Wicked's going to kill it at Critics' Choice. I think he is definitely getting a nominated Critics' Choice. And maybe even some other precursors. Maybe even at DGA he'll get it. I don't know. Anyway, Brady Corbett, Brutalist. Coralie Farjat, The Substance, nominated in director. I love to see it. And, of course, Denis Villeneuve for Dune Part 2. Steve McQueen's not here. Ramel Ross is not here. That really upsets me. Ramel Ross's direction is definitely an acquired taste, and it's definitely up the Academy Awards Director's Branch alley in particular, specifically. So I'm still going to hold on to that thread. I'm gonna hold on to that, but I'm not gonna give up. Let's see. No Ridley Scott for Gladiator 2. No Edward Berger for Conclave, which was kind of surprising. And no Sing Sing. No Greg Quidar. Almodovar is not here. Rosolov. But Farjat. Love to see it. Love to see it. Otherwise, great category. Great category. Best Cast Ensemble, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Gladiator 2, interesting, Saturday Night, and Wicked. Sing Sing is not here in Cast Ensemble. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? But yeah, whatever. And Anora's not here either. Anora's cast is wonderful. Maybe it's too small. No, it's not too small. It's like what? 1, 2... 3 foot. Yeah, it's at least 5 people. You know, what are we doing here? Whatever. Best international feature, All We Imagine Is Light, is going to show up everywhere, and then it's not going to get nominated at the Oscars, just like RRR, just like RRR. Thanks, India. So yeah, that's here. I still need to see it, man. I hear it's so good. Emilia Perez, Flo, I'm Still Here, Kneecap, Seed of the Sacred Fig. Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. No notes. Best Documentary, Black Box Diaries, Daughters, music by John Williams, Superman, Christopher Reeve's Story, Remarkable Life of Evelyn, and Will and Harper. That makes sense too. This doesn't mean anything because, man, the director's branch at the Academy Awards will do some crazy shit. So, yeah, this has no bearing on my thoughts on the director race. I mean, the documentary race. So, I don't know. We'll see. Best First Feature, Women of the Hour, Anne Kendrick, Blink Twice, Zoe Kravitz, Inside Out 2, Kelsey Mann, Monkey Man, Dev Patel, Dee Dee, Sean Wong, Piano Lesson, Malcolm Washington. Cool? Cool. Best Animated Feature, Flo, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wild Robot, Transformers 1, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance of the Most Foul. That's basically the Oscar 5, predicted Oscar 5 plus Transformers 1. Makes perfect sense, no notes. Voiceover performance. Doesn't have any bearing on the Oscar race, but what it is what it is, whatever. We'll read them out anyway. Maya Hawke, Inside Out 2. Brian Tyree Henry, Transformers 1. My Girl, Lupita Nyong'o, Wild Robot. Pedro Pascal, Wild Robot. Amy Poehler, Inside Out 2. Owen Teague, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Cool. Best Horror Thriller, Alien Ramis, Heretic, Long Legs, Nosferatu, Smile 2, The Substance. Okay. Best performance in a horror or thriller. Hugh Grant in Heretic. I hear he's killing. I hear he kills it in that movie, dude. Like a performance, like a career best performance. I wonder if he can happen in some of these precursors. I don't know. We'll see. Demi Moore, The Substance. Lupita Nyong'o, Quiet Place Day One. Margaret Qualley, The Substance. Naomi Scott, Smile 2. And Bill Skarsgård, Nosferatu. Not Lily Rose Depp in Nosferatu, which I hear is incredible in Nosferatu. Gives a very physical performance. But Bill Skarsgård also perhaps equally as good as the titular vampire. Yeah, something to think about. Action or science fiction feature, Civil War, Fall Guy, Furiosa, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Monkey Man, Twisters, Truly Indie, whatever. Casting, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emily Perez, Saturday Night, Substance, Wicked. Okay. Challengers gets into... So, cinematography. Challengers gets into cinematography. Love it. Love it. Greg Fraser, Dune Part 2. Jomo Frey, Nickel Boys, nominated for cinematography. Love it. Jaron Blaschke for Nosferatu. Great. Lal Crowley, The Brutalist. Wonderful. And Alice Brooks, Wicked. Interesting. Very interesting. I've heard through the grapevine that the cinematography and the color grading and how the film is shot is probably the weakest aspect of Wicked, but it is the Astros. They went gung-ho for Wicked. It's here. It is what it is. Moving on. Costume design. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Dune Part 2, Furiosa, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, Wicked. Makes sense. Film editing, Anora, Challengers, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Saturday Night, Wicked. Great category outside of The Brutalist not being here. What? Where's The Brutalist, dude? That's probably winning editing at the Oscars, if not Anora, but... one of the technical marvels of the year as far as editing. I mean, come on, man. Also, The Substance isn't here. They love The Substance, and yet they don't nominate in cinematography or editing. That doesn't make any sense. That's very weird. And yet they still nominate Wicked. But this is still a really strong category. I mean, Challengers, that's a very good pick. I would probably rather nominate the Brutalist instead of Challengers, but it's still a very inspired pick. Whatever. Makeup and hairstyling. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Dune Part 2, Furiosa, Nosferatu, The Substance, and Wicked. Are we missing anything? Not really. I mean, yeah, makes sense. Marketing campaign, who cares? Best original score, Challengers. Let's go! Dune Part 2. Still don't know if Dune Part 2 is eligible for the Oscar or not, so that'll be a battle in my head for the rest of the year. Emilia Perez, The Brutalist, Wild Robot, very nice, and Wicked. What missed score? Oh, Saturday Night, man. Come on. God, come on. We gotta get some noms for my boy John Batiste. Conclave also isn't here. I'm just now noticing that. Conclave and score? Blanked at the Astros? Come on, man. What are we doing here? Nickel Boys isn't here. That's kind of a... I guess that's a long shot, but man, that score is so good. No Gladiator 2. No Sing Sing. No Room Next Door. So, whatever. Production design. Conclave. Very nice. Very nice. Dune Part 2. Gladiator 2. Nosferatu. The Brutalist. Wicked. Makes perfect sense to me. What missed? No Blitz. By the way.
Blitz has zero nominations at the Astros. Not good. Not good.
Then again, the movie is, in my opinion,
not good.
All right, so let's move on. Sorry, Blitz. Sound, Quiet Place Day One, Challengers, Dune Part 2, Furiosa, Mad Max Saga, Gladiator 2, Wicked. Interesting that Khalid Unknown is not here. And The Brutalist isn't here. That has a fantastic sound. What else missed? Gladiator 2 is here. Emilia Perez is in here, too. Maria's not here. Blitz is not... Dude, even Blitz... I will give Blitz the benefit of the doubt in regards to sound. Great sound work in Blitz. Really, really great sound work. Technically, the film is impressive. Great production design. You know, shot pretty well. Not amazingly shot, but shot pretty well. Great costume design. Makeup and hair. Really good. Really good. Sound, fantastic. The movie's not great. The movie's not great. Best stunts. Deadpool and Wolverine, Dune Part 2, Furiosa, Gladiator 2, Fall Guy, Wicked. Cool? Cool. Stunt coordinator, who cares? I mean, shout out to the stunt coordinators, but really, I mean, it's the same five movies. Who are we kidding? It's the same five movies. Best visual effects, Beetlejuice, Dune Part 2, Furiosa, Gladiator 2, Twisters, Wicked. Makes sense. And that, ladies and gentlemen, are the ASTRA Award nominations. That is it. That is it. So we got some stars aligning here in regards to the Critics' Choice Awards in particular, which those nominations will be announced after the Golden Globe nominations, which are coming up soon here, ladies and gentlemen. When are the ASTRA Awards? I think they're televised. No? I think they are. I think they are. So the ASTRA Awards are... The ASTRA Awards are... When are the ASTRA Awards? They're December 8th. Which I believe is the same day as... Well, that's the day before the Golden Globe nominations. Okay, cool. Golden Globe nominations are December 9th, man. Wow, crazy. How far away is that? Dude, that is a week. It's like a week and a half away, dude. Week and a half. A week and a half until Golden Globe nominations. That's amazing. That's crazy, bro. That is crazy, bro. Can't wait. So, I think we'll leave it there, folks. Those are the ASTRA Award nominations. I think we're going to leave it there. I have yet to officially update my predictions. So, I'm thinking. So, we got a week. We got next week. Is the week after Thanksgiving, and then the week after that is going to be Golden Globe and Critics' Choice nominations, which are, I think, December the 9th and then December the 12th. And I will be doing reaction videos to both of those. You bet your ass I will be doing those. So maybe next week I can maybe do like a live stream or something, or maybe I could just churn out a couple of Oscar predictions videos. Maybe I'll do a live stream. Cause it's going to be, I don't want to call them December Oscar predictions because like there's going to be a lot happening in December in regards to, you know, the Critics' Choice nominations, the Golden Globe nominations, the Oscar shortlists. That is definitely going to dwindle some things down. It's not going to be as accurate for me to do predictions now and call them the December predictions. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I do. But in any case, Golden Globe nominations are the next big thing, y'all. It's going to be a big couple months. December and January, they're big months, man. So after Thanksgiving, we're going to be hitting the ground running and getting into the nitty-gritty. We are mid-season, and once we get into January and the Golden Globe ceremony starts, that is the beginning of the late season. So, man, we're getting there, folks. We're getting there. So yeah, thanks guys for listening as always. Follow me on YouTube if you haven't done so already. What are you doing? Instagram, Oscar Guy Here. Letterboxd, JazzMusic131. OscarGuyHere.com. Check out my website. See my latest stuff. See my latest stuff. See my quickie reviews. You know. Just stick around, man. I'm gonna be around, and yeah, thanks guys for following. Thanks guys for watching and listening. I appreciate your presence. Have a great Thanksgiving, y'all. Be thankful for one another, and I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful for you. Love you all. Drive safe, travel safe. Until next time, I'll catch you on the flip. Oscar Guy is out.